From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Kelly Bayern here with Coin6. I'm the morning meteorologist, and we've got a special guest today. We are talking about fishing here around Northwest Oregon and Portland and all around the area. We've got a lot of rivers here, and our special guest today is Bob Rees, who is a fishing guide. He's been one for over two decades, and you've been fishing around here your entire life, Bob. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kelly.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about how the weather's changing and how that may influence local fishing and, you know, the state of our rivers and the ocean, the coast right off there. And just kind of take a look at those folks who'd like to go fishing, what they can expect as we move into the spring season and summer. So first of all, can you tell us a little background on yourself and all of your fishing excursions?
Sure, Kelly. I'm a sixth generation Oregonian that just has fishing in his blood. So even though nobody else in my family fishes, I got it from my two grandfathers, one from Washington and one from Pennsylvania. And it's just something I've always enjoyed and didn't really get a chance to explore all that Oregon had to offer until I got my driver's license and
right.
Got to go out and explore what Oregon was all about. So, mm-hmm.
So you do most of your fishing off the coast, but also we do a lot of rivers around here too, so you do some freshwater stuff too.
Yeah, the benefit of being a fishing guide versus a charter boat operator is that our vessels are towable, so mm-hmm. we can go where the fish are biting best, whether that's Tillamook Bay, the Lower Columbia River, the Willamette River, the up around Bonneville Dam. There's just a lot of options here in Oregon, so
right.
we go where the fishing's the best.
That is so cool. I've always wanted to take a guided trip, and I've done a little bit of fishing myself. I was just stationed in the Tri-Cities off the Columbia there, so I've actually done quite a bit of bow fishing for carp out there, which was a lot of fun, and
yeah.
I think I'm quite the sharpshooter too. I did catch more than a couple carp with a bow, and it's cool because you have to aim a little bit lower, I believe, than where the fish is, or a little bit higher, you know, because of that refraction into the water. So bow fishing was pretty special, but we're going to talk about rod and reel fishing,
sure.
right, today, yep. which is basically what you do.
That's right. I would like to try bow fishing sometime, but I've just sticking with the rods and reels right now.
Right.
So.
Well, that's really cool. So tell me about the types of fish that we get, I guess, more so in the rivers around here.
Yeah. Well, of course, Oregon is a cold water state, and that's what us fishermen and fishing guides really thrive on, is the mm-hmm. opportunity to pursue salmon and steelhead and sturgeon to some degree too, trout, all the cold water species. And so because of the species that evolved in our region, we need cold water. Mm-hmm. And so that is changing, as you know, as a meteorologist, that things are changing on our forest landscape and certainly in our cityscape, and conditions in the local area aren't as friendly to cold water fish as they historically have been.
Yeah, that is so interesting. So you're still mostly fishing salmon. Have you noticed some big changes in those salmon populations locally?
Yeah, and we've so much of it depends on what the water flows are. Right now we're in peak out migration for the juveniles.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone to court many times to get flow and spill litigated through the Corps of Engineers and Bonneville Power Administration on the Columbia to really mimic how these fish evolved over time. We want these rivers, the Willamette as well, we want them to function like they historically have, like these fish have evolved over time.
Mm-hmm.
We call it run of the river, where the dams are opened up and acting like a river current, because most people don't realize this, but salmon and steelhead, they don't just turn and start swimming towards the ocean as juveniles. They have to actually get pushed down. Their noses are always into the current, and there's not enough current to push them down through the reservoirs. They're not going to make it to the ocean.
Mm-hmm. So these dams that are in place could actually be a little bit harmful to some of these populations? Is that you're talking about, you know,
yeah.
along the rivers and how those changes with dams could affect these fish?
Oh, absolutely, no question. It's turned a functioning river system into a series of lakes.
Yeah.
That's not good
for
salmon.
Yeah, that's not. Well, we're still here to talk more about if you'd like to get into fishing, how folks can do that. So you've been a guide for over two decades, mm-hmm. and you know your stuff around the local rivers, also off the coast. You do a lot of ocean fishing. But how does someone get started? Should they take a guided course, or should they just kind of buy a rod and reel and stand on the banks and hope they catch something?
Yeah, you know, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife has wonderful resources in their websites, a lot
yeah.
of how to get started. A lot of people Use trout. I call trout kind of the gateway drug for fishermen. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to start. Success rates are high. The Department of Fish and Wildlife stocks numerous lakes around the region that mm-hmm. Do offer some great fishing opportunities. Take advantage of the lakes up in the Mount Hood National Forest where you can do a nice little hike in and catch some brook trout. And I mean, it's just such a wonderful way to start your fishing. You'll know pretty quick just how dedicated you'll be to fishing. Once you transition to salmon and steelhead and your success rates monumentally start to decline, because it is a lot harder to catch a salmon or a steelhead than a trout, you'll get an idea about what your commitment will be, mm-hmm. because it does take a lot of persistence and perseverance to try and catch salmon and steelhead.
So do you notice a lot of fishermen that you know in your community, are they pretty secretive about their spots, you know, on a river or in a lake that they've been lucky at?
Yeah, and that's been a bone of contention with a lot of people, especially with social media kind of exploding in our community, is that if you find something special, and it's hard, you know, because you're pretty proud if you take a salmon or steelhead in a mm-hmm. specific location, you want to tell your friends and, hey, don't tell anybody, but this is where I caught this. And then they tell their friend the same thing. And so it's pretty easy for hot spots to get exploited pretty quickly. Yeah.
So I just met a new friend who fishes up in Washington, more in the foothills out there. And he was saying, how come you forecasters you guys are never right about the forecast, or, you know, explain more about the rivers and those conditions, because we're watching those river levels and those temperatures. So can you tell me how local weather does affect river conditions that will be the most ideal for those fishermen out there? So what can we do to help out those people who'd like to check the forecast with us and then go outside?
Yeah, and just like your forecast is so dynamic and always changing, you know, fishing success is directly related to river height and mm-hmm. how fast rivers go up and how fast they start to recede. But as a general rule, when you see rain coming in, especially after a prolonged period of dry weather, the fishing's going to get real good as soon as the river crests and it starts to come down and the clarity in the river starts to clear up to a nice green where you got somewhere between 12 and 24 inches of visibility. And that's when the fish really start running upriver. They're a lot like humans. They take the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. They have access to their spawning grounds when the rivers are high, but they don't want to burn all their calories getting upriver because they don't feed when they're in fresh water. So they're expending calories without taking any in, and they're really conscientious about the path they take, always taking the path of least resistance. The higher the flows are, the closer to the riverbank you want to fish, because that's where the less flow is.
Got it. On the sides of the rivers, not down the middle.
Yep.
So we did see a lot of rain over the past couple weeks with major flooding concerns all around Oregon. Has that been a huge impact on the fishing lately?
It has, and we've been basically sidelined with the high water, high flows that we've experienced on the Willamette and to mm-hmm. a smaller degree on the Columbia because of the hydropower dams that hold back a lot of that water. We have not had great fishing opportunities in the peak of spring Chinook season right now. Mm. So steelhead season the same. Our rivers here in the Willamette Valley are pretty high still. The fish are harder to find in those high flows. The coastal systems, on the other hand, have had some great steelhead fish in the last couple of days because they did come up. They are starting to recede. They're smaller systems and not fed by snowmelt as much as the Cascade streams are.
Interesting.
So they have been fishing very well for the last couple of days.
Right, right. So when you make a fishing forecast, and you actually offer this on your website, if you go to the Guides Forecast online newsletter at theguidesforecast.com, you do provide fishing forecasts for all local rivers around here. So how do you make your forecast when you said each week you do this? So how do you start by making your forecast?
Well, we depend a lot about the information you provide as mm-hmm. a meteorologist. There's a river forecast center, as you're well aware of, and we can look at that river forecast center and estimate. Of course, like all weather, it's dynamic and it's not always accurate. So we just do the best we can, as you do, and look for those river crests and when they start to fall down. And because of the different number of rivers that we have in the northwest region of Oregon, some systems are smaller, so they begin to fish earlier, like mm-hmm. these coastal, even the small Kilchis River in the coast is one of the first to clear and produce fish. And then as the river systems get larger, it takes a little while for them to clear up and start fishing. But we do that weekly forecast every every Thursday night for the weekend angler.
Got it.
We lay out on a river by river basis how those rivers are likely to fish as the rivers start to come down, and of course what the best bait. It's, you know, you define your strategy that you're going to employ based on what river height is. So in higher flows, bigger baits work.
Right.
Lower flows, plugs work because the fish are more territorial, and smaller baits because they get a little more skittish in the lower dropping, clearing water.
So yeah, river levels and flows are a huge factor
huge.
In where these fish
That's
are going
right.
to be. Interesting. So how do temperatures play a part? Because I remember one summer in the Tri-Cities off the Columbia, we saw a huge death rate of sturgeon. So I think it was just a couple degrees too warm, and that killed off a huge population of sturgeon up in the Columbia.
Yeah, that was in 2015.
That was, yes.
Yep. And it was a tremendous loss of fish. We had what was actually happening with that particular scenario is the warm water was killing the massive run of sockeye salmon we had coming uh-huh. upriver. The sockeye were falling to the bottom of the river. The sturgeon were consuming the dead and dying sockeye, and their bellies got so full of protein with the water being so warm, their bodies couldn't process all the protein that was being consumed at the time. And so they ended up in a high mortality rate as well. So water temperature is everything to fish. You know, it drives migration. It drives incubation time for eggs. Mm-hmm. It drives spawning time. Mm-hmm. So it's critically important for all aspects of fishing, both for survival and success.
Mm-hmm. So I guess climate change and, you know, some of those other factors that we're watching as we go into these next couple years would be another topic for another time. So we will definitely chat about that. I would love to down the road. But that is so interesting. You know, it's pretty cool that you've been able to fish around this area for your entire life here. Mm-hmm. So would you say you like fishing off the shores more or off of a boat?
You know, for anybody who starts out, it's definitely going to be a shore-based opportunity.
Right.
Again, the smaller streams on the coast, for example, will be the more productive ones. I kind of cut my teeth on smaller systems like the Upper Clackamas River or the Salmon River, which is a tributary to the Sandy, for summer steelhead. You know, low flows, you can target where the fish are, makes it easier. And I went 2 years before I caught my first steelhead on the bank. So it's
gotta be persistence.
Persistence is very important for bank fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then over time, assuming you really get into fishing, like so many of us have, we have a large number of people that do fish in the state of Oregon, of course, and you might end up gravitating towards purchasing a boat. A boat fisherman obviously have higher success rates because of their versatility and the just the simple amount of water they can cover to pursue fish. Mm-hmm.
So as we go into the end of spring and summer, what can our local fishermen look for? I guess it depends on what type of fishing you'd like and where, but what is something, what are the fishing seasons coming up?
Yeah, we're currently in spring Chinook season right now. The run forecast for the Willamette is just 40,000 fish, so not a large run. We have a goal of trying to get 100,000 spring Chinook back to the basin every year, but that's going to take a lot of political will. But spring Chinook's coming up now. Summer steelhead is just starting on the river systems, which will go all the way into September and even October. The big news reel this season is going to be the whopper coho run that we're going to have.
Nice.
We had huge jack returns last year, which indicate we're going to have a great adult return this year, and that's going to be mostly July, August, and September are going to be fantastic for bank fishermen. September and October are going to be terrific on the Sandy and the Clackamas Rivers and several Southwest Washington systems. So Chinook numbers are down because of some rough ocean conditions we've had when those juveniles and sub-adults were foraging in the ocean during the warm water blob event you probably reported on and the El Nino and then 2015 severe water temperatures during out-migration all took a triple hit on the Chinook run. So even though we still have probably around close to just under 400,000 adult Chinook coming back to the Columbia Basin this year, you know, we've had years recently where we've had over 1 million come back. So
nice.
We're coming on a slight downslide still.
Okay.
Yeah. Compared to history, but the coho run's going to be the big return, just shy of 1 million coho coming back to the Columbia this fall.
So of those fish that may be in a lull this year, do you notice over the decades that you've been here that some of those fish populations can recover once again going into, you know, forward years.
Right, and so salmon have both the freshwater life cycle depending on the species. Mm-hmm. Some species spend up to 2 to 2.5 years in freshwater before they migrate to the ocean, and then they spend another 2 to 3 years in the ocean before they come back as spawning adults. Mm-hmm. So again, those factors are dynamic, what yeah. happens in freshwater versus what happens in saltwater. So yeah, we're just happen to be in a life cycle that favors coho salmon recently, so that's why we're going to see the good return this
year. Yeah, that's very cool. It'd be a life goal for me to reel in some delicious salmon.
This is the year to do it.
Salmon. That'd be awesome. So
yes.
This is the year to do it. Again, Bob Reese has his own fishing guide service. You can find him online at theguidesforecast.com for all of your local river forecasting. And here on Coin, we'll also be sharing some of that too. But again, thank you, Bob, for coming in and sharing all this information. Super helpful for those folks who'd like to get out on the waters as we head into spring and summer.
Great to be here, Kelly. Come fishing this year.
I would love to. I'll be out there. You'll catch me out there.
All right.
We'll see you guys later.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.